Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If you had uttered one thing that Dave gave an idea, he would change the whole show. Let's cancel that. Martha said that. Let's bring in a horse. How fast can we get a horse?
That's right.
And everything would just change on the drop of a dime of whatever you said. I don't know if the other shows really are like that.
Paul Schaefer is best known as the musical director, band leader, and sidekick for both David Letterman's late-night talk shows, which ran from 1982 to 2015. Outside of television, Paul is a talented singer, a composer, an actor, and a comedian. Paul and I got to know each other during my close to 50 appearances, can you believe that, with David Letterman over the years. Some call Paul the greatest sidekick in television. And it's a pleasure to have him here with me at my farm. Welcome to my podcast, Paul.
Martha, I couldn't be more thrilled to be here at your modest little pad that you have up here. It's absolutely fantastic. And I was just saying that I'm thrilled to see that all the buildings are in Bedford Gray.
Yes.
So I can confirm that. Yes, she actually does use the color exclusively.
Yep.
Now, it brings me to a question, and I realize it's not my show.
You can ask yours, me all the
questions
you
want. This has been fascinating me since I read that you have opened a restaurant on the Strip in Las Vegas.
Called the Bedford.
Exactly, yeah. Well, first question, is it Bedford Gray?
Much of the interior is Bedford Gray. It's a replica of my house that you haven't come in yet. You were invited for coffee, but we kind of ran out of time. You'll come back up there.
Thank you.
It's a really fun project, and I would love to replicate a smaller version of it here in Bedford.
Yeah.
Called the Bedford, but I don't know if that'll happen or not.
Well,
but
what kind of menu is it?
Oh, it's all my recipes. It's recipes that you would love, recipes that I've served at my homes forever.
Perfect.
All perfected for restaurant service, of course, and it's doing well. Yelp gave it 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well,
so we're all excited.
Of course. Anyway, Ma, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Well, anyway, I just want you to know that the greatest sidekick in television. How did your tenure with David Letterman, who, by the way, is and was my favorite late night host, and I shouldn't really say that out loud, but you know, I love all the other guys too. But my favorite thing to do was David Letterman. I always had fun. I always loved seeing you and your band, and I always talked to you, and I always waved to you.
Yes, you did. You sure
did. And your music was always just like so invigorating and so such a great introduction to each segment on David Letterman. So it was.
And I guess we probably played you on with Martha, My Dear, by the
sometimes
the,
you did
the Beatles. Yes, well, you know, sometimes. The most obvious.
But how did your tenure with David begin? This is a long story.
Just like you, it was so much fun because I agree with you. Although he and I both idolized Johnny Carson, of course, and that was David's model. And he didn't make any secret of that. Johnny showed us all how to do it. But David, I think in combining it with a more of a Saturday Night Live type of nuttiness, took it to another level.
You know, I never got to be on Johnny Carson, so I never got to experience that genius. I was on Merv Griffin, which was right. Like the competitor, to Johnny. But I regret that so much because I loved watching his show too.
And what he used to say, and it was true if you watched it, was that if he made his guests look good, people would be talking about his show the next day. You know, did you see who Johnny had on that? And to him, that was the key, and of course, so important.
And the key is of those late night hosts to make the guests look good, sound interesting, make sure that they are promoting their latest work, and it's a hard job because you do have to make them look good. And David always made me look good, and we always had fun. And I think he helped really build my brand in his way.
That's nice of you to say. He would be proud and thrilled, and I think it's true, too. You were such a presence on the show. You were certainly one of his favorites, maybe his favorite.
But you were his favorite sidekick.
Well, you know, he just, we hit it off right away.
Weren't you the first really famous band leader? Or what's the genre of band leader?
Well, as we look back and when we see, you know, Johnny Carson's last was Doc Severinsen.
Right. But before that, who did he have?
He had Skitch Henderson. These guys all had names because, after all, they were on every single night. But I got to be was Skitch and Ed at the same time because he didn't have an Ed. He didn't have an announcer sitting right by. So I used to say I'm a combination Doc and Ed, i.e. dead. But that was just a terrible joke, and I'm still here. So I got to talk, and I got to banter with him, as they say. It wasn't written in the script. As a matter of fact, the first time I tried to say something on my mic, it wasn't even turned on.
Oh, it wasn't live.
And I had to go to the engineer and say, you know, you should turn my microphone. Well, I don't think they want it on. Well, I had to. Of course they want it on. I had to sort through that. And when I got it on and finally said a couple of things, David was very encouraging. And he said, do more of that. That was funny. And I used to.
So what year was this?
82 when 80, we came
okay,
on.
So that was on NBC.
That's right.
You followed. You were the Late Late Show after the Late Show.
We were called the Late Show because Johnny was called the Tonight Show.
The Tonight Show. That's
we
right.
We followed Johnny.
Okay.
Late. We were the Late. No, we were called Late Night.
Late Night with
David Letterman. Late Night with David. Okay. And that's what Seth is doing now. Seth Meyers has that, and he follows Mr. Fallon, who, of course, is doing The Tonight Show.
Right.
So we were the late show.
But David wanted that Tonight Show really badly. I remember that. And he deserved it. And then all of a sudden, this upstart called Jay Leno gets the job. Why? What happened there? You were there.
Well, I was there. I wasn't really privy to all those things. I did see that great, crazy movie that they made about the Late Show Wars. Awfully accurate, I thought.
It was? Oh.
I thought so.
So those
from
of
what
you-
I knew. Except Dave said they had a scene of me throwing a football at a target. Who would ever throw a football at a target? You bow and arrow at a target. That's what really upset him. I do not throw a football at... Otherwise...
But didn't you throw eggs into a fan?
Well, and I stood in front of the damn fan.
Oh, you did? Oh, God, and you got egg all over you. You got egg on your face.
Egg on my face, literally, and had to be a good sport. But really, I was just soaking and wanted to get out of the thing. But got a big laugh.
Of course.
And that's when I started to realize, you know, right there, geez, if you, you know, if the people laugh, it's a good feeling.
It sure is. And especially at late night when you've had a hard, horrible day, you get into bed and you turn on the TV and you want to be entertained. And you guys were the ultimate entertainers.
That is sweet of you. And really? You were there and you were a part of it too. And Dave, what Dave wanted from a guest is someone who was dependable and would come on with having done a little preparation.
Right.
That's all he asked.
Yeah.
And of course, you were prepared.
Well, I was always overprepared.
The two of you cooked together.
Do you remember I got cream all over Dave's suit?
Well, he wasn't crazy about that.
I know, but they said I could do it. The producers said I could do it. And I think I was the first person allowed to sully his outfit.
You may have been the first and last.
Yeah, probably.
It just strikes me, you're talking late show and stuff. I've got a story about King Charles, our current king, the new king of England.
Yes, prince. Well,
if
he was
I
prince,
didn't tell it now.
He was prince then, right?
Yes.
Okay, so tell
when
me.
When else would I be? Well, it was right in the 80s after the Letterman show had started, and I had to ask Dave for a day off because I got invited to, when it was Prince Charles and Lady Di. They were in Vancouver, B.C., Canada, opening the World's Fair.
Oh.
And the two guys in the Prime Minister's office were Letterman fans, and they said, Paul's Canadian, let's send him an invitation just for kicks.
How great.
Well, of course I accepted it, and Dave gave me the day off, and I was calling in, I think, you know. Dave, I forgot my formal socks, my silk socks. I've got to go shopping for them. No, nobody had ever. My dad taught me that.
And the prince and the princess were there.
They were there to open the thing, and there was a state dinner. And the guys running it, the logistics for them, were so thrilled that I was there. They said, "We're going to get you a picture with."
Well, you're Canadian too,
so
you belonged there.
They knew
you
they
were
knew
like
it.
You were like a favorite son of Canada.
Exactly.
And still
Thank
are.
You for reminding
and still
me.
Are.
And
yes.
I was. I had a lovely email conversation with Justin Trudeau just the other day.
You did?
Yes, because I had to sort of politic him about the Royal Conservatory of Music. Can they have a little more money for their budget and stuff? And when I wrote in a form letter, as you know, asked the Dr. Simon, who runs the conservatory, I got a lovely letter right back from the Prime Minister, Justin. Of course, his father had been my Prime Minister when I was in college.
Oh, great.
Pierre Trudeau. Anyway, back to they wanted to get a picture of me with Lady Di. They said, we're going to get this picture. I said, you don't have to. But I feel a tap on my shoulder. I'm sitting at the state dinner with all Canadians, strangers. They said, come with us. They take us into a room. They take me into a room where there's a receiving line going on. And the Prime Minister is introducing the two royals to all of the premiers of the provinces.
Right.
They're like the governors, I guess, that we have here. So they're coming down the line, and the Prime Minister, and here's the Right Honorable Premier of Manitoba. Hey, hello, said, you know, Prince Charles. How are you? And they get to me, and it's Prime Minister Mulroney. He doesn't know who I am. And he looks at me, and nobody, he doesn't say anything. And nobody says anything. And all I know is you don't talk until the royals talk. At least I know that. Uh-huh. But nobody was talking. So I had to talk, and I said, hello, Your Highness. I'm Paul Schaefer from the Late Night with David Letterman show from New York. And he says, oh, really? How late?
How late?
I said, well, and this is the first, I said, well, you know, we follow Johnny Carson at 12:30. And he said, well, count me out. So there, Martha, is my conversation with King Charles.
With the king.
How about that?
Who is now the king.
Yeah. Funny, I was thinking, you know, they said, we'll get you a picture with Lady Di, because she was, of course, the big celebrity then. They should have realized he's going to be the king. That would have been a shot.
Oh,
but I do have a shot with Lady Di.
Oh,
yeah.
How great.
Yes, it is.
How great. Well, that's a sad story.
Her hair was as good as yours, as far as the people that have the best hair in show business.
Oh.
I think it's you, then Lady Di, for sure.
Well, Paul is totally, are you totally bald now? Totally
yes.
shaved?
Yes, well, I do shave my head, but I don't know.
But you look
Some
so
ask
good.
Why, because
you look great. Anymore. You look great.
You know what, Martha? Thanks for saying so. I never had the right hair when I had hair.
Yeah.
And here we, you know, since the Beatles, it was always so important for guys, but this is better for me.
Yeah, you look great.
You know,
don't look exhausted. I mean, isn't late night just the most exhausting thing on earth?
How do you know that?
Oh, well, I work till late at night. I work from early morning till late at night, so I know how exhausting it is.
Doing the show every night, I didn't realize it until it ended. And it took me about 2 years to get readjusted. My body clock was such that...
Oh, screwed up.
There was, and there's a show every time, every day. So 5 a.m., I'd be up, bang, what time is the show, you know?
Right.
By showtime, I'm exhausted. I was always tired, absolute, just like you
but
said.
But you were you rehearsed every day. You and it, the rehearsal was really, really important, but also extraordinary. Great production. And
but you, very you, little time.
And the only producer I really got to know on your show was Robert Morton.
Yeah.
Morty or Morty Pie.
He was notorious.
Yeah. How long was he a producer?
Well, quite a few years.
Yeah.
He took over as producer just before we made that big move to CBS. So he was part of that move.
So let's go back there, first of all. So what year was it when CBS, when NBC said, sorry, Dave, it's going to,
you know,
it's going to
sure.
Jay Leno?
I think, well, I think we were 12 years on CBS, so that would take us into about 94.
Okay, so then they said no to David.
And they gave him one more year.
One more year, and then he moved straight to... to CBS,
they got him his own
in the time slot. In the time slot that he wanted anyway, 11:30.
True,
And that was called. And then he was followed by Conan.
Yes, and that's when he became the Late Show.
Late show with David Letterman
instead of late night.
And
yeah.
That beautiful theater, which I loved. I loved going there because the dressing rooms were so nice, and they each had a private bathroom. You didn't have to go down the hall, and
yes.
And it was and there was always nice things to eat and drink in the dressing rooms.
Have you, nonetheless, it was sort of the same way it was when Ed Sullivan was doing the show. The plumbing was old New York kind
yeah,
of plumbing.
That's stuff. Okay, as
Have
long as it worked.
Have a Colbert show yet, Stephen Colbert?
I love the Colbert show, yeah.
I do too. Backstage, though, and I was lucky enough to be a guest. It's like a cool club he's got going on there.
Yeah, it is.
Backstage, the lighting is all low.
Yeah, it's so fun. You know, it's so fun.
The bathrooms are now sort of like the Morgan Hotel or something. You know, everything redesigned. It's amazing.
No, well, he has great taste, and he's a fun person to be on
he
with.
Sure is.
But the most fun right now, I would guess. Well, who do you like now? I mean, who do you watch? Do you watch everybody?
Oh, I tell you, I watch a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I miss Conan O'Brien, to tell you the truth.
I loved Conan.
I thought, he really was the guy who laughed when things were funny.
Yeah.
That's what I
Well, I got him to dress up and ride a horse with me. He had put a red wig on and an open satin shirt, and he rode on my black steed, and he was up for anything.
Did he come up here to do that?
Yeah.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, he was
great.
He
didn't need the red wig, though. His hair is like
No,
ridiculous.
No, but he wanted to. Who was he looking
Flowing?
Like? He was emulating Fabio.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It's such an obligation to be a late night host like that, and also to be the sidekick and the musician of the show. So it started with Johnny Carson. Did he bring the music to late night? Is that what he did?
Well, he had a big band.
Yeah.
Sketch and Doc, whom we were just mentioning.
How many pieces? Oh, 21. Like, how many did you have?
I had started with 4.
Yeah.
And you know what I learned afterwards, just from watching those late night shows, movie about the late night wars and stuff, that Johnny Carson had a meeting with Dave, and his original producer said, "Now I want the show to be different. You can't have the same guests. You can't have Dom DeLuise because that's who I have."
Right.
And Dave was fine with that, you know.
Yeah.
We want to have our own restaurant. And you can't have a big band. I have a big band. You're going to have 4 pieces.
So Johnny, he made...
You have a 4-piece band. That was great with me because I grew up doing rock and roll bands and 4-piece bands. I didn't really, wasn't so comfortable with horns at the time. So this is perfect for me. And I got 3 guys who just knew all the songs that I knew. So if Martha Stewart was going, "Martha, my dear, key of A," and I didn't have to write it out. We all just bump, bum, bum, bum. We hit it.
Yeah, you knew it.
Yeah, and that when I had the most fun.
So now of all the bands, who do you like the most now on the late nights?
Geez, you know, they're all good for some reason. Of course, Questlove and the Roots, fantastic to see, you know, them taking really kind of what I did. I brought the thing into the rock and roll era.
You did.
They have brought it late night into the hip-hop era, and it's striking.
And he with food, too. I mean, he writes cookbooks now. He's making a brand.
He's a foodie. No, yeah. And he was doing it. Well, you started this whole branding thing, didn't you?
I'm one of the starters of it.
You know, Pete Davidson, he goes out with Kim Kardashian. He branded himself.
That's broken up now.
Yeah, but the brand.
Oh, no. He is now Pete Davidson. He's Pete Davidson, all right. He's so cute. He's a cute, young, nice guy.
Yes.
But he's Kim, I think, has moved on.
Swallowed up by the Kardashians and spit out.
Right.
What are you going to do?
So when you're on Letterman, every night is different. Guests are so different. Who is your favorite guest on Letterman? What are your fondest memories?
Well, of course, you know, as the band leader, my thoughts would go to the music. And James Brown, very first time he did it, I never got over it. And my little 4-piece band, he brought 2 horns and played with my 4-piece band, and we never played so well in our lives. But once he started singing and dancing, shaking that, you know what, it was just, you had to play. Mm-hmm. And he did it many times after that, and every time was like a music lesson.
So he's charming, isn't he?
He was charming and what a performer. And he didn't know, I mean, he couldn't read or write music, but he just sang, you know, he was singing the hippest stuff, and the band had to, just whatever he sang, you'd play, you know. And if he didn't, he'd find you. That was, I think, the real deal. If you made a mistake in James Brown's band, he would fine you 10 bucks.
He would?
Yeah, I never got fined. Luckily, I never got fined.
Wow.
You know, he has to see me after the first time he did played because it was such a smash. And when I went in there, knocked on the door, he was under the hairdryer after the show.
With that hairdo of his?
Yes, but not a blow dryer. I'm talking about a full helmet and a chair he carries.
Was he, why, because he was sweaty or what?
Well, his hair all would come down, and it's very important to him. You know, hair got to be, he used to say hair and teeth. If you have those things, you can be a star. And I think he was right. But talking to me under the hairdryer, he's like, he's hard to understand anyway, but with this, I'm down there, you know, trying to listen to him. I was down on my knees in front of him, and it was like he was on a throne in that hairdryer, but that's the way it should have been. I really
So who else?
It.
Who else?
Well, I mean, when Robin Williams did it, you could relax. And you wouldn't look forward to the show because he, you know, he
took over. He was on my show too once, and boy, I mean, he had the fastest mind.
Yeah.
In the comedy world, the fastest
shot out of a rock,
a computer mind,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he was like Hal on the spaceship.
Yes, he was. One thing would set him off, and he'd go into a whole different. A whole different vibe.
And a different language and a different accent. And, I mean, he was the fastest.
Yes,
but I loved him. I loved him. Do you remember any disasters on Letterman?
Well, sure, there were some disasters. I certainly had my share of disasters. One time, Anthony Newley, whom I loved, and he, what kind of fool am I? That's only one of the great songs he wrote it. And we had him, he was going to do a big favor for us and sing our little theme for the viewer mail segment. Viewer mail. And then I wrote a little thing in for him. Everyone laughs at the viewer mail clown, because he was always singing.
Yeah, he could just make anything
clown.
Out.
But when I went into the big ending, the viewer mail, I was in the wrong key. I took him up about a good fourth or fifth higher because I hadn't written it down. I thought I was so smart I could just remember. And his ear was so good that he followed me into the new key and sang this note that was higher than any human had ever.
Oh,
and I felt so bad. And after he went off from backstage, I heard, and we can swear, you could just
say, sure.
This is what I heard after he went off stage. Oh my God, I felt so terrible. But I wrote him a long letter. You always hurt the one you love. And he wrote a lovely letter back.
Oh,
luckily,
okay.
He had a good sense of humor.
Okay.
There was one of my worst disasters.
But see the ordinary viewer has no idea what goes on in those shows. How difficult and how intense they are. They are really intense because you have 1 hour to get everything in that has to get in and make everybody look good, sound good, feel good, blah, 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 right?
I think that you know, Martha, from doing it so much, that if you had uttered one thing that Dave gave an idea, he would change the whole show.
Aye.
Let's cancel that. Martha said that. Let's bring in a horse. How fast can we get a horse?
That's right.
And everything would just change on the drop of a dime of whatever you said. I don't know if the other shows really are like that.
Oh, I loved when he went to the deli. Did you ever go to the deli with him?
Of course, yes.
Oh.
Rupert G. and May, and they were so great because they weren't trying to be...
They were natural.
Yeah, they weren't trying to be funny on camera or get the laughs, but the laughs just came naturally.
They did, yeah.
And I participated. The city awarded them a lovely thing, being a small business, an honor. I was there to honor Rupert G. and May.
Yeah, so great. So what about the Oprah stuff?
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Dave didn't always tell me the whole story, but... My recollection is that we were in Chicago doing a week of shows. Oprah came on, and the audience was kind of mean to her. The audience was waiting for Dave to insult her.
Hmm.
And that's my recollection. And somebody even said, Ripper Dave, or something like that.
Wow.
Yes, and it wasn't Dave's fault. And then it just exploded.
But she took it as Dave's fault.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so, yeah.
Because I never knew the story, and I was always wondering, why, what is this controversy, and why won't Oprah come on David Letterman?
Yeah, a good feud is always, as we know from Jack Benny and Fred Allen, a good feud is worth ratings. And when they finally did reconcile, and I think they did a Super Bowl ad together.
Right.
It was fabulous. Everybody was thrilled. And Leno, too. Everybody was thrilled to see them all together.
But did anybody else in your recollection refuse to come on your show?
Sure. Some people were afraid of Dave. they didn't want to come on. Yeah, kind of a sad story reminds me, the great Don Everly of the Everly Brothers.
Oh.
He just died recently, like last year. But the year before, I had done an award show with him in Nashville, and he was talking to me about his brother. He still kind of resented his brother, Phil Everly.
And why? Said, why?
Well, one of the things he says, you know, he wouldn't do Letterman. He wouldn't let us do Letterman. I was dying to do it. He was afraid Dave was going to bring up something from our past. Oh. And he wouldn't do it. And so there one example of people who wouldn't, you know, we would have had a great time playing with the Everly Brothers.
Boy, did I love the Everly Brothers growing up. That's high school music. Yeah. Wow, they were so
what
great.
A sound. Yeah. And so influential, yeah. Even on the Beatles.
Yeah. Yes,
so
they were.
So much Beatles stuff, yeah. Guitars, some of those Merseybeat guitar stuff that they played came right from the Everly Brothers.
I loved listening to them, and I think I actually saw them play live someplace in New York.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
How often do you see Dave now?
I see him quite a bit.
You do?
Very, and I'm very touched by the fact that he really wants our friendship to continue. So we speak on the phone often. We get together when we can.
Well, you live in the same hood.
We're basically in the same hood, yeah. He's a little bit farther away from the city than you and I are. I live close to you, Martha.
Yeah, I know.
Which you know, but the people may not know, but that's a kind of an interesting
question. Yeah, here, right around Bedford, and Bedford Village. There's five little towns that make up Bedford. I don't think people know that. Cross River, Bedford, Bedford Hills, Katona, and
Mount Kisco.
And Mount Kisco, yeah. We're all in the same little area.
Yeah.
And it's,
so Dave is up a little farther north.
Yeah.
But I do drive up there once in a while, and we have a dinner and talk about the old times and the same things, yeah, and same jokes.
Well, I still enjoy, I'm enjoying all his interviews that he does too. It's really, yes, it's really fascinating. So you were a band leader for how many years then?
Well, 30 combined with the two networks, it was 33
years. That's a lifetime of work. It really is.
Yes, it is.
About your band? Where are they? Where are all
everyone doing different things? Felicia Collins, my female guitarist, whom you remember, spending most of the time with her mother in Albany. But she and I both sat in with a great band that we love called King's X during the summer, and I got to see her. Will Lee, a blonde, good-looking bass guitarist, busier than ever, mm-hmm, worldwide, great, and then getting on the internet and playing bass for people over the internet, and everything in between. Some guys kind of retired. Other guys, never worked harder.
So Nikki Schwartzberg's my makeup artist. Well, this is her dad knows you very well.
An old friend of mine, Nikki Schwartzberg. She got married though, didn't she?
Oh yeah, she's now Nicole Toye, T-O-Y-E. She married this fabulous Chinese hairdresser.
Well, Alan, her father, is one of the great studio drummers, having played on so many records, it's hard to count, from Tie a Yellow Ribbon up through the disco era and Never Can Say Goodbye.
And he's still playing. He's still playing.
And somebody just sent me a record by Cerrone, the French drummer that he and I played on together. Anyway, he told, and I've known both of his daughters, Nicole and Simona, since they were born. And he told me what it was like when you came over to Nicole's house.
Oh, yes.
Do I think that Susan, his wife, cleaned up a little bit?
Oh, my God.
For you before you got there?
They were still cleaning when I got
Martha
there.
Martha Stewart coming to their house. That must have been something.
Well, that embarrasses me when people think they have to clean for me because I don't care. I'll clean for them.
I know you would.
I will. I'll polish their copper.
I know you would. But you've got a brand and a cred, and a rep.
So you grew up in Canada. Mm-hmm. A lot of showbiz comes from Canada. It's funny. A lot of people come from there.
Certainly right now, with the Saturday Night Live wave of comedy, a lot of comics in that genre.
But you started, you were on Saturday Night Live also.
Yes.
Doing what? What did you do?
I was a pianist for Howard Shore. He was the band leader. I was a writer of special musical material because I knew a lot of the kids like Gilda, Belushi, Billy Murray. I knew them from before. Some of them were Canadians, like Dan Aykroyd. I knew very natural for me to start working with them and writing with them. And by the fifth season, I even became what they call a featured player. I was in sketches. I was dying to get on camera all through that time, sneaking on. And Lorne was amazing in that just the piano player, I had all access. He would, everybody does him now, but he would say, Paul, come on in. It's Paul, Simon, and I, and Chevy. We're trying to figure out the opening for next week. And I'm just a pianist, but I'm in there with them trying to figure that stuff out. It was fantastic. I'll always be grateful to Lorne.
Well, Chevy's also a neighbor, so do you get to see him often?
See him quite a bit.
Oh, good.
And I officiated recently at his second daughter's wedding.
Oh, you did? How
nice.
Yes,
I did. For $15 on the internet, I became a minister. And then I was able to buy a clerical collar for another $750, I think. And I conducted this wedding. And I, having played so many weddings as an organist, I knew what to do.
How great.
I was pretty good.
Of course you're very good. What are you talking about?
And Tom Leopold, who was a friend of a friend of your, I don't know if she's your production manager or what out here, but he gave me a line to use. The groom went to Chevy to ask for the bride's hand, and Chevy said, hell, take the whole girl. So that went over very well.
I bet. Well, how nice. So you're very busy. I mean,
not like I was five shows a week. I'll never be that busy, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But still keeping up things, doing some symphony shows. This is my latest passion, really.
Oh, like what's a symphony show?
Well, it's when I appear with the symphony orchestra.
Oh.
I've done four so far. Started with the one in Kalamazoo, Michigan, a great symphony. More recently did Long Beach, California. And I do all pop stuff and R&B. I started out with Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra. I have the great Valerie Simpson, who wrote You're All I Need to Get By and so many. She's my special guest. And that, I just got a new agent, and I am hoping to get some more bookings in
that. Oh, great. Well, that's very interesting.
Yes, I love it. I'd love you to come.
I'd love to.
If I play around here.
Yeah.
It's really a big kick for me.
So, do you ever play a Caramore?
I would sure love to do
that. Oh, yeah. Why haven't you played there?
Let's make a call after the...
Well, I'm very friendly with the whole operation there.
Okay, well...
For those of you listening, Caramore is a music festival that is directly across the street from my driveway.
Yes, it is.
And I can just sit in my yard out on my terrace and listen to the concerts at night. I can hear them here.
Not nice.
It's so nice. But I do go also.
It's like we're living by the Hollywood Bowl.
In a way, it is. And they have lovely, lovely performances. Mm-hmm. I went to hear Yo-Yo Ma this year. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful. Yo-Yo Ma is an amazing performer. Sure. And he was on Letterman a few times.
He did Letterman quite a bit.
Yeah, very wonderful, wonderful.
And a very
musician.
Normal kind of guy. Who,
yeah, but he likes all music, which I was really, not just classical, he really loves all kinds of music. And so who are your favorite musicians other than yourself, of course, but who do you listen to on a regular basis?
Jeez, there's so many. I still like listening to the soul music of my youth. And on Saturday and Sunday mornings on the jazz station, WBGO, they play all soul music. And I'm in heaven, whether it's Wilson Pickett or Sam and Dave or the Supremes, the Four Tops. I love those voices. And I'm still digging that old soul music. And still, you know, I do a lot of it in my symphony show, too.
And which particular, you know, musicians, the ones who are playing the instruments, who...
We just lost Ramsey Lewis. Last week, and he was a big influence on me in 1966, I think, when he came out with instrumental version of I'm In With The In Crowd, playing very simply and soulfully on the piano.
Pianist.
And I picked that up when I was a kid from him. He was one of my favorites. Jimmy Smith on the organ. I love the Hammond jazz organ. We lost another one of those greats, too, Dr. Lonnie Smith. The greats are... One by one, leaving us.
Oh,
greats of this era, you know. And with them, I think, goes rock and roll. Sad to say, I think rock may be dead.
Well, we have... What's coming up?
We have hip-hop. Hip-hop music replaces it. And
rap. I'm listening to rap.
Yeah.
You know where I listen to it most? In traffic jams on the sawmill. You just open your window and every car is playing rap. Everybody's playing rap in their cars.
Well, do you find, though, that kind of might make you too excited and want to get out of that traffic jam?
Oh, of course. And you start beeping.
Except for a certain gentleman.
Start beeping your horn and stuff.
A certain chap you're associated with brings things down in a very relaxed level.
Yeah, he does. He's really Snoop.
Our friend, yeah.
We love Snoop. And I just got a picture. You can't even believe that I'm actually friends with these people, okay?
I do believe it.
I know, I really am.
They know hip chick, you know, when they see one.
Dre just sent me pictures of his garden yesterday.
Fantastic.
And the garden is all marijuana. And they're the largest, bushiest plants I have ever seen. And I asked for the strains. He didn't send me the names of the strains that he's growing. But it's so fun to see what people do. I mean, what you great, great musicians are up to. And did you watch the Super Bowl with those guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah, they were great, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was out there. I went to the Super Bowl. It was a lot of fun.
They adhere to the same principles of showbiz.
They do. And they're all fine musicians. And they know a lot. Like you. I mean, you know music inside and out, which is what astonishes me is that during your education, you really did learn music. You did learn instruments. You did learn how to play. So who encouraged you? And did you have to persuade your parents to let you do showbiz?
Well, you know, they were the kind of Jewish parents, even in northern Ontario, Canada, we had them, Thunder Bay, Ontario, where they said, that kid is, meaning me, he's going to learn how to play piano if it's the last thing I do, you know.
Oh, so they
took piano
you,
lessons. Yeah.
They wanted you to play.
And they had a strange duality. They loved show business and they loved music. My mother, show tunes and Chopin, and my dad, the greatest jazz vocalist. He really turned me on to Billy Eckstein and even Ray Charles, my father. And so they had a secret, you know, boy, if Paul was ever a musician, but really too far-fetched. They really would have wanted me to have a real profession. And I graduated from the University of Toronto in sociology, which leads, you know, not exactly anywhere. But I said, you know,
but sociology's good. I mean, it came in handy,
especially as a band leader. Absolutely. Interpersonal relations.
Right.
Sure. But when I said to my dad, I think I got to take a year after graduating and just see if I can, you know, what music is like. He said, well, you know, this doesn't surprise me or your mother. And I think they were secretly thrilled.
You were only child?
Yeah, only child. Oh. I think they were secretly thrilled. And of course, very proud of me when I got on Letterman and they could.
I bet they were.
They could tune in every night or at least the next day.
How often did they come down to see you?
Oh, quite a bit.
They did.
Quite a bit. And they would come to the show. I remember the first time my boss, Letterman, didn't know my parents yet. My mother's sitting in the audience with a big mink coat. And Letterman is out there doing an audience piece. And my mother right to his left. And he said to her, are you in the right studio? Because she seemed to like she was dressed for a night of 1,000 stars. Anyway, that was my mom and dad. And yeah, they sure were proud of me.
So you've written music too. You write music, you play music, you perform. You're an all-round performer.
Yeah, not so much writing. I wrote one song, It's Raining Men. I co-wrote that with the great Paul Jabara, who is no longer with us, but what a talent. And he won an Oscar for writing Last Dance for Donna Summer.
Oh, that's such a great song.
And then it sure is. And after that, he called me up and said, let's write one now for Donna Summer, you and me. How about the title, It's Raining Men? And I said, I'll be right over. I'm going to go out and let myself get absolutely soaking wet.
With all the men.
And it was, you know, a sort of a fantasy that worked for the gay community very well. That seemed to be something that they related. Imagine men raining out of the sky.
Yeah.
If you were the kind of guy who liked men.
Right.
That's perfect, you know. And so it was kind of written for that crowd. But then it crossed over. It turned out to be the perfect tempo for aerobic exercise. And women used to use it in their classes, and they got to like it too. So it became, you know, and it still got legs 50 years later, I think. Maybe 40. 40 years later.
And then your paths crossed with the Rat Pack, Sammy Davis Jr., those guys?
Just that he was one of my favorites. And of the Rat Pack, I got to work with Sammy. He may have been the only one that I really did work with. Joey Bishop briefly, but Sammy, again, a music lesson every single time. And he didn't want to rehearse. He wanted it to be spontaneous.
Really?
But my wife was booking the show at the time, Kathy Vassapoli, an old show talent coordinator from the 70s. And she said, you make him rehearse. And when he did, he said, you know what? How much fun this would have been if we hadn't rehearsed. And I said, damn, he was right. You know, that's how.
He was very spontaneous.
Spontaneous, yes. Yeah. I'll tell you what
very
I want to
handsome,
mention.
A very handsome man, too.
He sure was.
Yeah, wasn't he?
So you have any experience with him?
No, just watching him, because yeah. I found him of that genre, that group. He was just the most appealing to me.
Yes, he was. And, of course, his stage patter. So elegant, it was almost British.
Yeah, it was. He was very dapper.
Ladies and gentlemen, with your kind permission.
Yeah, very dapper.
Yeah, I still say that with your kind permission. People think I'm nuts.
No, but it's nice.
Do you know it's 2020?
It's nice. It's nice to do that. So what about Broadway? Do you go to Broadway? Do you go to see shows? What have you seen?
Did see Billy Crystal on Broadway.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He lived next door to my daughter, so I got to see him quite often.
Oh, down on the West Coast.
In Tribeca.
Oh, here. Oh,
when
yes.
He was in Tribeca, and he was such a delight all the time. Always funny, always just.
This is the daughter that said, whatever, Martha.
Right.
Every day.
That's right.
Yes, I remember her, of course.
Yep.
And I knew her partner, too.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Coppola.
Yep. The two of them.
See, in a small
bad
world.
Girls.
Yeah. I want to tell you about my daughter, though, because everybody.
Oh, yeah. How old's your daughter?
Martha's got to hear about this because she'll be interested. My daughter is 29 now, living in California. I got a son, 23, too. But my daughter has her own rescue association, dog rescue.
Oh.
Called Pup Culture, P-U-P.
Uh-huh.
And she works 24/7 on it, rescuing animals, rescuing dogs.
Wow.
Sometimes
from Tijuana. But in California.
Yes. In Los Angeles.
Okay.
And she wrote a book, which I sent you, I think, some time ago. My wife sent you anyway, talking about her experiences at rescuing. And she reminds me of you because she really has the energy to make it into a, what I think you might call a brand. She is really great. Dedicated.
What's the name of her company?
Pup Culture.
Okay, Pup Culture.
Yeah.
Okay. Jocelyn. We have Jocelyn here, one of our producers. And Jocelyn is our pet expert. And she's, so remember about Pup. Okay.
Check her out.
Yeah, we're going to check her out. What's your son doing?
She's funny, too. My son is in the second year of a master's program, which will hopefully lead him to medical school next year. Mm. He's in Boston now, Boston U, doing this program, and he's applied to 40 different schools. And we only ask to get
We need more doctors. We definitely need more doctors.
And he is a type of doctor who wants to help everybody.
How great. So two kids on their way to
My wife deserves all the credit. She did a great job of raising them right up here in Bedford.
Yep. How great. Well, how nice. And the schools were great?
Yes.
Well, we have covered a lot of ground, and I think that your career is 100% memorable. I mean, we'll never, ever forget the Letterman show with Paul Schaefer.
Well, I sure
right there
that.
In the headlines, and I really love talking to you and being with you this morning.
I have had a gas, and good. Just to see your operation up here is breathtaking, and you were always so nice to me all through the many years in Letterman, and I appreciate
Listen, you were nice to me. We're the ones who are scared stiff going on that show.
Fun to get over here and now be on your show with you. It really was, Martha. Thanks
you,
so
Paul.
Much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.